The Starting Lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Hour number three, the Starting Lineup is on the air. Little old 97's bringing us back. Love that. Reminiscing the old days. Sundown in the City with the old 97's was a heck of a party here in East Tennessee. That is a really good band if you've never really listened to them. Eric Kane, Will West here with you. A couple of housekeeping notes there. I do want to point this out. There was a social media post that I had shared probably 20 times with me yesterday about Antifa coming into East Tennessee and blowing up and, you know, attacking white neighborhoods and things like that. That apparently, according to Twitter, has found that it originated with a white supremacist group. So, and they have shut down that white supremacist group on their social media platform. Don't know if they are still on Facebook, but if you saw that and you had to share with you like I did yesterday, then just understand that that wasn't real. So there is that. So I'm not saying you should support Antifa or not. I don't care. But just so you know, the you know, scary, they're going to come loot West Knoxville is not a real thing that actually happened. So there is at least that, and hopefully everybody can sleep a little bit better tonight. Sporting news, our buddy Bill Bender yesterday putting out his preseason post-spring top 25. Saw it the courtesy of 24/7 Sports, and Tennessee is not on the top 25. Are you surprised to see another top 25 poll after Athlon has Tennessee outside the top 25 that doesn't have Tennessee in their top 25?
You know, not really. Again, I think, you know, Tennessee finished 7-5 regular season, 8-5 with that bowl win. We all know how the season started out, but Tennessee, give credit where credit's due, turned things around, made a season out of it, but still lost a whole lot on defense. You lost an all-SEC safety, okay? You lost a four-year starter, a guy that's led your team in tackles for 3 years in Daniel Batuli. You lost a high second round draft pick at the defensive or the outside linebacker position, the edge position, and Daryl Taylor. So Tennessee's lost key contributors on the defensive side of the football in three key areas at all three levels. Yes, you return what should be a really, really strong offensive line, especially if Cade Mays gets eligible. You return a quarterback that was up and down last year, but a guy that finished the season off strong. You got some playmakers, but then again, look at the receiver position. You lose Juwan Jennings, you lose Marquez Callaway, and you lose some depth there at that position. So seeing how the season played out for Tennessee last year, seeing how much it's lost coming into this year, and again, it's going to play a daunting schedule. It's not really a surprise to me that Tennessee's not in this top 25 for sporting news.
Yeah, so it depends. Like, when you looked at where Athlon had them, they had them at 26. And that made me think that what we're seeing from that is they think Tennessee gets to 8-4, goes to the Outback Bowl, and gets beat, right? Or, or something like that. They go to a bowl game, and they get beat the bowl game. You end up being 8-5 again on the season. You're not in the top 25 if that happens. So that is not a scenario like that. Would I pick Tennessee to win in a bowl game against ACC or Big Ten team? Probably, just because they've done it so many times lately when they have that much time to prepare. But that's not an unrealistic scenario that Tennessee beats the teams that they're better than, loses the teams that have more talent than them, and then doesn't make it in the bowl, doesn't get it done in the bowl game. That's not something that would be off the table.
I'll say something that does stand out to me, though, Will. Kentucky's ranked 23rd in the rankings.
Yes. That was what I was going to say.
Yeah.
This is different. This is Bender's picking Kentucky to beat Tennessee this year. And that's the thing that I'm looking at. In his bowl projections that were put out over the weekend, he has Tennessee playing Louisville in the Tax Slayer Bowl again. I don't know, based on the bowl tie-ins, if that would happen that way, or if it even can happen that way, that you can go back-to-back to the same bowl. But because I do think, isn't it 3 years that you have to be removed from a bowl before you can go back to that bowl?
Not sure.
But it does tell me that he has Tennessee go 7-5 with Kentucky being ranked ahead of them. And Tennessee being in the Tax Slayer Bowl again, that's a 7-5 one. And that is a little bit different, because I do think, I know it sounds really weird because it is just one game and anybody can lose a game because of turnovers or bad weather or anything like that. But I do think there will be a monumental difference in the way that Tennessee fans view where the program is if they go 8-4 and they lose, they don't beat anybody and lose to Florida, Georgia, Oklahoma, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I think most Tennessee fans will say we'll live with that and go 8-4. Is it what you want and what you would order at the drive-thru? No, it's not, but I think you'll live with it. I do think if we get to a scenario where it's 7-5 and you've lost to those four teams and you've lost to Kentucky, It's going to get loud in Knoxville. We've heard it get loud in Knoxville before, but by the end of year three, you've got to be better than 7-5. I'm not going to pick Tennessee to be 7-5. I'm going to pick them to be 8-4, and I think 9-3 is more likely than 7-5 is. But if it does work out the way Bill Bender has this, it's going to get really loud in Knoxville. Very, very, very loud, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with you, too. And when you look at that individual matchup here on June the 3rd of Tennessee and Kentucky that'll play in November, you know, I think he's an unbelievable athlete. I think he's a leader on that football team, but I'm just not a believer in Terry Wilson. I don't think he's a good quarterback. I mean, he can't throw the football, you know, 15 yards, but you just can't throw the football. You can't win if you can't throw the football. Now, Kentucky, and with all credit to Lynn Bowden Jr., made a run for that last year. And I mean, just an unbelievable athlete was Bowden Jr. and nearly beat Tennessee at Kroger Field there in that cold night. I mean, Terry Wilson, I just don't think has what it takes to win 8-9 games in the SEC. And if you're ranked inside the top 25, you're winning 8, potentially 9 games on the season at least. You lose Cash Daniels, a phenomenal linebacker. You lose...
Maybe not a great guy, but a phenomenal linebacker.
Yeah, phenomenal linebacker. Yeah, you're exactly right. You lose a couple offensive linemen, too. So, I mean, Kentucky's lost some as well. I'm just really surprised that it's here. I'm going to pick Tennessee right here on June 3rd to beat Kentucky. That game also shifts back to Knoxville as well. So, yeah, to your point, it comes down really between Kentucky and Tennessee in that late-season matchup. Whoever wins that game would have most likely slid just inside the top 25. And according to Bill Bender, it is Kentucky that gets that nod.
So that would be very interesting. Am I wrong to think that it would be a completely different scenario? 8-5 with a bowl win is not going to feel nearly as good as 8-5 with a bowl loss at the end of the season. Because if you go 8-4 in the regular season, that's one thing. I think, again, Tennessee fans will live with that. If you go 7-5 in the regular season, we'll have a full bank of phone calls, as long as we want to take a full bank of phone calls of people talking about one person saying, we've all seen this movie before.
Yeah.
First caller will say, fire Jeremy Pruitt. The next caller will say, you got to have 6 years for you can get a recruiting class in. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what it'll be. Like, I mean, we've done this before with Derry Dooley. We've done this with Butch Jones. We've all seen this movie play out. I don't think that's the most likely scenario, but I do think that if that is the case, that Tennessee loses to one of these teams, like, that were close games last year, right? And teams that dealt with quarterback injuries that Tennessee won close games against. If Tennessee does lose one of those games, it's not going to be a pretty situation.
And again, you got to give Tennessee credit for winning those games in those type of situations, because you come back, you beat Mississippi State by running the football in the second half. You just absolutely blow out South Carolina despite a couple of injuries there in the second half because you made some plays. But you beat Kentucky because you run the football and play stout defense down the stretch. And so give credit where credit's due, certainly. But let me ask you this. When you talk about Tennessee, think about the 2019 campaign, do you say, all right, Tennessee 7-5, or all right, Tennessee 8-5 for last year? What's the first thing that comes out of your mind?
7-5.
Yeah, me too, because I think of the regular season. I mean, yes, it's good that Tennessee won the Taxslayer Gator Bowl, but it is the Taxslayer Gator Bowl.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. The bowl games mean literally nothing to me.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't mean a single. So, like, would you rather win it than lose it? Yes, you would.
Absolutely.
Does it matter as far as, like, I mean, Jimmy Haim said the breakdown of the statistically with the SEC and with Tennessee last year, the breakdown of what's happened with, as far as
Tennessee, winning the bowl game going on to the next season,
as far as projecting the next year, yeah. Doesn't matter. Having those extra practice, it doesn't matter. So it doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, it makes the fans feel better, and so I get that. And so you'd rather win a game than lose a game. Mm-hmm. But it just, whether you win the Tax Slayer Bowl, to me doesn't matter whatsoever. Yeah. So if you go to the Music City Bowl this year, or the or go to Charlotte for the Belk Bowl, that doesn't matter a whole lot to me.
Yeah, and I agree. So, you know, bringing a full circle here, too. Yes, 8-4, absolutely you'll live with that. It's much better than 7-5. And if you're a fan, you'll live with it. But again, and I've said this over and over and over this offseason, in order for Jeremy Pruitt and the Tennessee program to take that next step, in my opinion, because in 2019, despite not having all your soldiers ready to go every single game, had some injuries, and had just horrendous quarterback play at times last year, Tennessee got back to where it's beating the teams you're supposed to beat in SEC play. Now, I hear you, Georgia State and BYU, that's a different conversation. But in SEC play, Tennessee went ahead and started beating the Missouris, the Vanderbilts, the Kentuckys, Mississippi States, and the South Carolinas, took care of business there. But moving on, you're not moving in the direction that you need to until you win a Georgia, a Florida, an Alabama, and of course one of those big, you know, non-conference games in the Power Five, and certainly not getting blown out. I mean, Tennessee hadn't had a competitive game with Florida, you know, dating back to 2017 when he lost on the Hail Mary. It was competitive against Alabama. It was competitive, you know, up until the fourth quarter. Noah Tua Tagovailoa. It was competitive against Georgia in the first half, but it's a four-quarter football game. So you need to knock off one of those teams in order to really be heading in the right direction. Again, I think the foundation's there. I think the right man is in place. I think he creates a really good coaching staff around him. I think bringing in Derek Ansley is only going to enhance him as a head coach because, again, you saw it last year, taking some off his plate. And, of course, he's one of the best recruiters in the country. And so you're looking at this, and I know I'm wrapping things up, we're up against it, but you look at that recruiting class when he first came in and tried to salvage Butch Jones, what he left behind. Those guys are now going to be juniors. We've got Bryce Thompson, who's a pretty good player. Alonte Taylor, who's getting better and better and better. But his first true class is now coming up, and it's going to be sophomores coming up too. So we'll have to see, again, how that continues to play out.
That is Eric Kane. I'm Will West. We'll come back on the other side. It was a peaceful, after maybe probably the most violent night of protests we've had, a pretty peaceful night of protests that we had yesterday. We'll talk about it next. It is the starting line of 99.1 The Sports Animal. Here's Eric Kane with the Tennessee Lottery Sports Update.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
NASCAR is set to return to the Music City in 2021 at Nashville Speedway, ending a decade-long drought without racing. Nashville will host a Cup Series race in late June of 2021, last hosted NASCAR and IndyCar events in 2011. NBA's 22-team restart model that is believed to begin July 31st in Orlando has a timeline where the last possible date for a Finals Game 7 would be October the 12th. Commissioner Adam Silver is expected to take that proposal to the NBA Board of Governors Thursday for a vote. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell announced that every team must hold training camps at their main practice facilities this summer due to COVID-19. Teams will also not be allowed to hold joint training camp practices with other teams. That announcement was sent out in a memo to all 32 teams on Tuesday. And the Notre Dame Navy football game set for August 29th in Dublin, Ireland has been moved to the Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium. That game will likely be played on Labor Day weekend, Notre Dame announced Tuesday morning. 8:16, we're going to check out the roads, Pete Michaels traffic. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
The starting lineup with Tyler and Will, 6 to 9 a.m. on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Will West, Eric Kane, it is the starting lineup, 99.1, The Sports Animal. It was a far more peaceful night around America last night, probably the most peaceful one we've had since Friday night, quite frankly. And we did not have the violence in Philadelphia that we had seen in the past. We did not have the violence in D.C. We did not have the violence in Atlanta that we have seen in the past. That's a good thing. It's a very good thing. It's I think we did in Portland. You had a pretty rough situation just without an announcement. It looks like a group of police officers decided to disperse a crowd by throwing tear gas into the crowd. They were peacefully protesting at the time. There was no issues, and then some stuff popped off after that. Some protesters started firing fireworks into the police after that happened, and that was ugly. You saw a similar situation in Oakland, California, where there were peaceful protesters out after curfew, and the police allowed them to do that, and they were kind of walking around them, and everything was fine, and then just it turned, and they started arresting people, and then some of the protesters got violent with the police after that. That was an ugly situation. People that were driving home from work in Los Angeles, California, that worked at hospitals and things like that, that were yanked out of their cars and arrested for driving, you know, after the curfew was set up. But what are you going to do if you work at a hospital? You're not getting off work that time. So I don't know what you necessarily do. But that is a far cry from what we've seen the last few nights. So I'm encouraged because peaceful protests are constitutionally protected. At the same time, we don't want to see violence. And so yesterday was a much, 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 much better day in the United States of America. The St. Louis Police Department and City of St. Louis, along with private donors, are offering a $100,000 reward for the people who shot the police officers in St. Louis a couple of nights ago. I think that's a good thing as well. So it was after a couple of nights of just, and I'll be real, Eric, I saw somebody ask this earlier, how much more news are you watching with all of this going on? And most people, almost 70% of people that voted on that poll said they're watching more than 2 hours a day, whether it be by their phone or on television, just more than 2 hours a day consuming news right now because of everything going on with the protests and with the violence that happens after the peaceful protests seem to end once we get into the night.
Yeah, and I mean, part of me, like, I'm going to various different websites each day, you know, looking at the top headlines. I'm doing my my doom scrolling every single day where I'm just continuing to scroll and read all my verified accounts and everything. I'm watching the news. And again, I'm in tune with what's going on to begin with. But I mean, you know, I'm a sports guy. But this week I'm also hosting a show on News Talk. And so I'm being more and more and more prepared and obviously just trying to have a general understanding of what is going on in our country. But to your point, yes, last night or yesterday, for the most part, again, there were some isolated incidences in Portland and in Seattle. And, you know, a couple other places, but it showed that, you know, we might be finally maybe hitting a plateau with all the violence that's just going on in our country right now. And hopefully finding an end to the riots and to the vandalism, the looting. And again, peaceful protests, I mean, that's essentially what it is. And there have been so many successful, peaceful protests standing to you know, honor and to try to spark some change from what happened with George Floyd and all the other just horrific acts of violence that's taken the life of somebody over the last couple of years. And it's just so sad that people are coming in, taking advantage of the situation and turning it in to what it is. And it's just been, the videos have been horrific to watch. It's been cringeworthy. But yesterday seemed like for the first time in the last 5 days that we might be trying to level out and trying to, you know, get back to a little bit of a normal lifestyle, at least to where there's no fighting and so much violence. And so that was, you said it. I mean, that was encouraging yesterday. Now, are we out of the woods yet? Absolutely not. And again, we're never going to be out. You know, the conversation is stemming from George Floyd in terms of trying to get, you know, social equality for all races and to end racism here in 2020. And we're going to continue to work toward that as we should. But in terms of the violence, it was encouraging to see it slow down yesterday.
The one thing I will say that it was a bright spot here in East Tennessee, and we mentioned this a few times here in Knox County, city of Knoxville, East Tennessee, Sevier County, Jefferson County. We saw in Oak Ridge yesterday, there was a peaceful protest march yesterday, and police took part in the protest march with the protesters in the city of Oak Ridge yesterday. So just another law enforcement agency doing it the right way here in East Tennessee. And I know it sounds like just no town rocks like Cleveland when the rock artist is in Cleveland, but I think the rest of the country could take a long look at how things are going in East Tennessee and learn a lot from it. And I hope that they do it. I hope that they would, because it has been exemplary. It has been from everything from law enforcement to civic officials to BLM. Everyone has handled themselves the right way. And that's just, I am really proud of our community and the way that it has gone. One other note I do want to bring up to you before we get to five burning questions coming up. Tia Kaku is a gymnast for the University of Alabama who announced on Instagram overnight last night that she is leaving the University of Alabama's gymnastics program. I'm sure this probably brought some things out with everything going on with George Floyd and the marches and protests. And she said she met with the head coach, she met with the athletics director, she prayed about it and took some time before she made this decision. She's leaving the University of Alabama. She's claiming that, she says that during one of their workouts earlier this spring, one of their training sessions, she said, because she noticed all the three black girls that are on the team all happened to be at the same exercise with the way the rotation worked. And she said, oh, look, all three black girls are at the same exercise. And one of the coaches walked up to her and said, what is this, the back of the bus? And she has decided to, she has made the allegation. Apparently she's taken the allegation to the athletics department, to the athletics director, to the head coach with the gymnastics team. We don't know if there was any disciplinary action that's happened with that coach. But she, Tia Kaku, has left University of Alabama's gymnastics team with a pretty serious allegation of someone saying something that's at least racially insensitive. I would say just flat out racist. And we'll see if anything happens with that. Come back on the other side. Start Bench Cut is next. It's 99.1 The Sports Animal. Will West, Eric King with Start Bench Cut next.
This is VFL Josh Malone, and we're counting it down. It is just
94 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com. Go on!
It is the starting lineup, 99.1, The Sports Animal. Will West, Eric Kane here with you. EA and Brian Rice, the takeover coming up in just a little bit. 656-9900 is your phone number. It was just interesting to see the Tia Kaku's, you know, her allegations with Alabama, and I guess part of it had to do with Alabama putting out a statement about, you know, that they don't tolerate racism and things like that. And it was her saying, well, then you should absolutely actually not tolerate racism. But she has left Alabama's gymnastics program, if you're just joining that, with an allegation of a racist comment being made by one of the assistant coaches there. We'll see what that looks like. 656-9900 is your phone number. Jimmy Hyams and John Wilkerson coming up at 3 o'clock. We'll have Josh and Heather coming up at noon. And, of course, EA and Brian Rice next at 9 o'clock. But right now it's time for Start, Bench, Cut.
How do you rank them? It's time for Mary... Whoops. The FCC says we can't do it that way. Let's play Start, Bench, or Cut on the starting lineup. Powered by Heritage Realty, locally owned and operated with over 50 years of experience in the Knoxville market, where today's technology meets traditional customer service. Heritage Realty.
All right, Start, Bench, Cut. Will, today is National Running Day. How far can you run without stopping? 1 mile, 2 miles, or 3+ miles?
I think I could do 2 miles right now, pretty much. Usually, and I'll be real, that's because COVID, I didn't do as much exercising. Normally, Fitness Together usually keeps me in a place where I can run much farther than I have any desire to. But I think that with COVID and getting the wind back right now, I could probably do a couple miles, a little over a couple miles. I don't know if I'd finish a 5K without having to walk just a little bit if there were hills, though.
Yeah, we're not big cardio guys.
Let me tell you something about cardio. It's the devil, and the devil created cardio, and that's why we have to do cardio. Also, food. That's why we have to
food,
do cardio.
That's why. The correct answer to this question is, how far can you run without stopping? Well, what's chasing me? What's chasing me?
Yeah, I'll start 2 miles. I'll bench 3 miles. I'll cut 1 mile. I can definitely do 1 mile.
I honestly do believe I could go out and run a 5K just like that, even though I'm not in the best shape in the world, simply because I used to run 5Ks all the time. It's always a mental hurdle. It really is. So I will start 3+, but it's not past a 5K, I'll tell you that. I'll start 3+. I'll bench 2 miles. I'll cut 1 mile despite...
Look at you!
Despite the 1 mile, the 1.5 mile, the 2 mile runs are usually what I do nowadays.
Cardio and legs, that's what Kaner does.
Need to get on that a little bit more. Best WWE 24/7 title holders, Rob Gronkowski, R-Truth, or Riddick Moss?
I don't know who Riddick Moss is.
Well, so I don't either, but I when I did my research last night, he was on there like 7 times of owning for a day or whatever, so I figured if I threw the name out there, you would know who that is.
Yeah, you would think so. I gotta be honest, I don't watch Raw anymore. Okay. I'll still watch SmackDown, and I just don't like literally anybody on Raw. So, not that I like they're bad people, it's just I don't want to watch them. So I guess AJ Styles would be involved in that now, or maybe maybe he's no longer on Raw. But I will start R-Truth, bench Gronkowski, cut Riddick Moss just because I don't know who he is.
Yeah, I'll do the same thing. I mean, R-Truth has had the title so many times in the last year, a little over a year, that it's been a thing. More days than anybody else combined. Although Rob Gronkowski, pretty sweet deal. He got it and then was in quarantine for a while, so good for him. NASCAR is tentatively returning to Nashville next year. Best track currently on the Cup circuit, Richmond, Dover, or Bristol?
I will start Richmond. I'll bench Dover. I'll cut Bristol. Bristol's got a lot better, but when they had to repave the track, Bristol's just not been Bristol. Bristol's still great. Don't get me wrong, but it's just not quite the same since they've had to repave the track, although they have done a great job trying to mess that up just a little bit.
I will start Bristol. It's exciting. Everyone loves to be at Bristol. The drivers love being at Bristol, saying that they feel like the fans are literally on top of them. So I'll start Bristol. Also shows support for the in-state track. I will bench Richmond, and I'll cut Dover. On this day in 2015, the movie Entourage was released. You an Entourage fan, Will West?
I was an Entourage fan, yes.
Big Entourage fan right here. By the way, they're talking about doing a spinoff for Ari Gold, which would be incredible.
That would be fantastic.
Star Bench Cut, the best supporting character in the series, Ari Gold, Turtle, or Johnny Drama?
Well, you start Ari Gold, you bench Johnny Drama, you cut Turtle. And really, it's the worst characters were the best characters on Entourage.
Yes.
And so Turtle was a good character. Johnny Drama was a solid character. Ari was a terrible character, but that's what made them great. So you start Ari, bench Johnny Drama, cut Turtle.
I don't know the actor's name, but I've seen him in a couple other movies, a couple other television shows. But the actor that played Lloyd, just such a phenomenal job.
He did do a fantastic job.
Just a great job. And, I mean, that scene where Ari shoots him with a paintball gun, it's just... Oh, great stuff. The correct answer is how you laid it out. It's Ari Gold, it's Johnny Drama, and it's Turtle. And with your group of friends, I'm going to do this exercise on social media later on. I'm looking forward to it. You all have a Vinny. You all have a Johnny Drama, washed-up has-been loser. You all have a Turtle. You all have an Eric that's trying to get his life together and trying to be a grown-up, but still likes to, you know, party and have fun and everything. I mean, every group has it, and so it's a lot of fun. I don't know if everybody has an Ari Gold, because that's tough to challenge. Couple more. Today is National Running Day. Star Bench cut these Tennessee running backs: Travis Henry, Jamal Lewis, Arian Foster.
Okay, as Tennessee running backs or just their careers in general?
Let's go careers in general.
Okay, I will start Arian Foster. I'll bench Jamal Lewis. I'll cut Travis Henry. They were all great, but Arian Foster was at a different level as a receiver as well, and so that's why I put him ahead of there. And the injuries that Jamal Lewis dealt with, he had the highest highs, but he didn't have quite the longevity, I don't think, of playing at that level that Arian Foster did.
Okay, I'll go that same order for running back overall. Let's go Tennessee running backs now.
Just while they were at Tennessee, yes. I think you start Jamal, bench Travis, cut Arian Foster. Not that Arian wasn't really, really good. He was better in the NFL.
It's crazy because Arian Foster is number two on the list, Tennessee, all-time rushing. And again, if he had any type of senior campaign worth a dang, I mean, he would have gotten it. I mean, he needed only like 450 yards, I believe, that last season, and he ended less than, just a smidge under 100 yards to be the all-time leading rusher. Last one, I saved for best for last because this is a toughie. Dale Murphy shared a picture of his son who was almost lost his eye after being shot with a rubber bullet during protests. And if you haven't checked out that story, I saw the thread a couple of nights ago, and it's Dale Murphy showing a picture of his son. He got a big old welt on his face, and he was peacefully protesting, and then of course it turned a little sour there. But he goes on a series discussing his viewpoints on everything. He gives some links on how you can support the cause and all that. You need to go check that out. But as far
that
as
was a hey, let's see who's racist by who commented on Dale Murphy's things, ripping Dale Murphy for what he had to say. Yeah. It was the most polite, nicest thing in the entire world that Dale Murphy wrote, and there were people with huge backlash against it. And I just wanted to say, oh yeah, you think that because you're a racist, that's why you think that. But what do you do?
Sadly, you've seen a lot of that type of backlash in the comment sections on social media the last few days. Anyway, best Braves player since Hank Aaron. This is tough. Murphy, Chipper Jones, Greg Maddux. Who
all
you
right,
cutting?
So I'm going to make Eric Kane mad. I'm going to make young Eric Kane mad.
You cutting Chip?
Maybe not. I'm cutting Chip, yeah. It's you start Murphy, back-to-back MVPs. What are you going to – I mean, like with a terrible, terrible team. So I'm starting Dale Murphy. I'm benching Greg Maddux. I'm cutting Chipper Jones. I am.
I think Dale Murphy should be in the Hall of Fame. So I don't want anyone to misinterpret this right now.
But you hate Dale Murphy.
I had to wear number three my whole life because my mom loved Dale Murphy. Dale Murphy's not in the Hall of Fame. I just don't see how you're going to put a guy above these other two guys who are Hall of Famers. I mean, Greg Maddux is my start here because the Mad Dog. I mean, I know he split time with his career with the Braves and Chicago, but I mean, no one was better. And he did it. He did not have a lot of velo. He did not throw hard. But he was so crafty with his pitches. You start Greg Maddux. I mean, Chipper Jones was 97% first ballot Hall of Famer. It's tough to cut him when it comes to Murph, but I'm going to have to start Maddux. I'm going to have to bench Chipper, and I'm going to have to cut Murphy. But gosh, that is tough. That's tough.
Yeah, it is. You're cutting Dale Murphy.
I know my mom is going to disown me.
Yes, let's say if you need a place for Christmas next year, Kaner, I guess you'll be at the house with us. This is your going to be welcome back at your home. That is Star Bitch Cut, brought to you by Heritage Realty. HeritageRealtyKnox.com, a boutique firm that focuses on you, the client, over the needs of the sales pipeline. They're specifically incredible when it comes to property management. Treating your property as if it's their own, maximizing your investment value. That is Heritage Realty. We'll come back with the final segment so Eric Kane can kick dirt on other people and their beloved sports icons in East Tennessee. It is the starting lineup. Here's the Tennessee Lottery Sports Update.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
South Carolina men's basketball coach Frank Martin announced he has tested positive and recovered from COVID-19. The Gamecocks coach said he tested positive for the virus in early May while in preparation for a knee replacement, self-quarantined himself, and then tested negative during a follow-up test on May 23rd. Elsewhere in college hoops, a Florida State court judge on Tuesday said New Orleans Pelicans star Zion Williamson must answer questions from attorneys representing Prime Sports Marketing on his eligibility under NCAA rules when he played at Duke. The agency is suing Williamson $100 million for breaching their marketing agreement. The field at Miller Park was damaged early Tuesday morning when a man broke in prior to being apprehended by police. The team is launching a full investigation into the matter. And Buccaneers tight end Rob Gronkowski, reigned as the WWE 24/7 title holder, has come to an end after 58 days. WWE aired a brief episode where it showed R-Truth disguising himself as a landscaper, jumping out and blindsiding Gronk in his own backyard to pin him. R-Truth has been the most prolific holder of that 24/7 title since its inception in May of 2019. 8:42, we're going to check out the roads with Pete Michaels Traffic. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
He uses real cash when playing Monopoly. You know, just to keep things interesting. Will West and the starting lineup. 99.1 The Sports Animal.
We do have a BallerBall79 on Twitter that says, when asked what I do for strength training, I say lift weights. When asked what I do for cardio, I say lift weights faster. I completely understand that.
That's completely.
Yep. Weight room done. That is what you call it in the gym world. Weight room done. That is how I prefer to train. Unfortunately, though, we need the cardio to lose some of the fat sometimes, and it is what it is. Did see from, if you're just joining us right now, Sporting News has released their top 25 for their preseason. They do not have Tennessee in the top 25. They have Kentucky in the top 25. Bill Bender does. Also, with their bowl projections, they have Tennessee in the Tax Slayer Bowl. I don't think they can go back-to-back. I thought it was a three-year kind of moratorium where once you go to a bowl, you can't go to that same bowl for three seasons. But maybe I could be off on that and could be wrong on that. I'm just kind of working off of memory, which usually fails me. But they have, if he has them in the Tax Slayer Bowl, if he has Kentucky in the top 25, not Tennessee in the top 25, Bill Bender's projecting Tennessee to lose to Kentucky and go 7-5, and that would probably not be a season that Tennessee fans are particularly happy with. And I know it's just one game, but I do think that there is going to be a monumental difference in the way that this upcoming season is viewed for Tennessee football. If they go 8-4 and they only lose to the big boys and you kept it close in a game or two, people are going to look at that and say, okay, there's improvement and you can keep buying in. If they lose those four games and they also lose to Kentucky, though, it's going to get really loud in Knoxville, Tennessee. Really loud in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yeah, and again, especially the last couple of years when it's been up and down and you've handled Kentucky. I mean, you just you don't lose to Vanderbilt, you don't lose Kentucky. But, I mean, you've lost to Vanderbilt a couple of times in the last, what, three straight years this past year, avenging that losing streak with that win in blowout fashion. But Tennessee hardly ever loses to Kentucky. Kentucky had its best football season in the history of the program, and Tennessee still beat Kentucky back in 2018. So you're exactly right. If that were to be the case and Tennessee were to lose to Kentucky – with not a very good quarterback under the helm, and it's year three of Jeremy Pruitt, that would not be a good loss whatsoever, especially when Tennessee is going to return. It's going to have a veteran, a strong offensive line, even if Cade Mays is not eligible. You got Trey Smith, Brandon, you've got experience up there on the offensive line. You have a veteran quarterback, and he was up and down last year, but you are returning a veteran and leadership on that offensive front seven type situation. Of course, you don't have many receivers coming back, but that would be a really, really bad loss for Tennessee. I don't see that happening. Again, this is June 3rd. Things can change. I don't see that happening at all. I see Tennessee beating Kentucky, and if Bill Bender were to flip those, I think Tennessee would be inside the top 25.
I agree with that. It's but it is interesting to just look at what, like, how thin the margin of error is going to be for Tennessee for this season, right?
Yeah.
If you're foot to the fire, I think that there's a lot more likely scenario is 9-3 than the scenario of 7-5. I just think that when Tennessee had more talent than these other teams, they just went out there and beat them. They don't have the same talent that Alabama or Georgia or Florida do right now. They don't. And Tennessee, I expect to be improved this year, especially because of that offensive line. And so because of that, now there are other places that are not going to be as good. Those receivers aren't going to be there to bail anybody out, right? You're also not going to defensively. We'll see where you're at. But it's they're going to have to – that look at the difference in the way that team played with the injuries, that once the injuries at linebacking core were taken care of, right? So Daniel Batuli, when he was there, the team was just completely different with him there versus when he wasn't there. So, and Henry Tuo should step right into that scenario. And you've got some other guys in Mo Couch that could probably play the other side there with him. And so I think that Batuli probably had enough leadership to show Tuo Tuo how to do this. And it's so I think they're going to be fine on the linebacking core, but Daryl Taylor's gone too. So where's your edge rush going to come from? There are questions for this Tennessee team. But when I watched Tennessee last year, they beat the teams they had more talent than for the outside of those first couple of games. After that, they beat the teams they had more talent than. They lost to the teams that had more talent than they did. And I think you're going to see a similar situation this year, Eric.
I mean, Tennessee just couldn't line up there the first, you know, 4 or 5 weeks of the season. And there are a number of different factors. That entire defensive line unit, brand new. Yeah, you had Aubrey Solomon that came in, has had Power 5 starting experience, but not in this system. You had Emmett Gooden that was set to come in and be kind of your leader this year, gets hurt here in training camp. You had, you know, role players like a Matthew Butler that kind of you saw a little bit of time. John Mincy saw a little bit of time. But that entire, defensive line, brand new. So Jeremy Pruitt kept saying, these guys, they're playing at a middle school level right now. Pretty soon they'll be playing at a high school level, and then we're going to get them to where they need to be. They just need reps and reps and reps. And they got that. Also, yeah, Daniel Batuli Allen, that's self-explanatory. And even when he came back after missing the first two games, I mean, Batuli wasn't right, really, in my opinion, up until about midway through the SEC slate. I mean, he wasn't right for quite some time. And Henry Tuo stepped in and did everything you could possibly do as a true freshman starting for not only for a Power 5 conference, but inside the SEC. But he couldn't get guys lined up all the time early on. You had guys like Will Leighton, Shannon Reed, who played a lot of football alongside him there early on, that had never been in a starting role before and were poised with making the calls and getting everybody lined up. And that's where Tennessee kind of suffered. But it did get better as the season went on. Now, you come into 2020, yeah, you're losing Daryl Taylor, impact player off the edge. Yeah, you're losing Daniel Batuli, your leader and your heart and soul of the defense from the middle, and you're losing Nigel Warrior, who was an impact player on the back end, but you've got the foundation for a defense that can survive until Tuo Tuo is now a superstar, until maybe a Bryce Thompson is a superstar on the back end. And so the proof's there. You've got the foundation laid. But again, the margin of error is very, very slim, because if Tennessee does slip up and loses a game to a South Carolina, a Kentucky, an Ole Miss, if you want, or I know that's it's Arkansas this year. You're not going to lose to Arkansas. But point being, if Tennessee does slip up and lose one of those games, it could go from 8-4 you feel good about, to 7-5 playing in another, you know, not so prestigious bowl game.
And we got a full bank of phone calls talking about firing Jerry Pruitt. That's just what we got. I mean, we've all seen this movie before. That's what we've got. It'll be two guys talking about firing Jeremy Pruitt, the third guy being like, well, you got to get a full recruiting class in here before you can fire nobody. So that's straight up what it'll be. And
too,
if it's at 7-5, I mean, it really is that big of a difference. Here's the question. Is this more about Kentucky than it is about Tennessee, though? That's one question that I wonder with Bill Bender having Kentucky ranked ahead of Tennessee, presumably saying that Tennessee loses to Kentucky. Could that be more about Kentucky? And maybe we're not giving Kentucky enough credit.
I mean, Kentucky's going to return a lot, but as I pointed out, I mean, you lose an impact player. I mean, Cash Daniels is not a good person, great linebacker.
Yeah, he was a really good player.
And you can't replace what Lynn Bowden Jr. was for your offense. I mean, he was all around, playing receiver, playing quarterback, could run the football. You're losing that too. So you're losing some guys in key impact areas that were the heart and soul of both your offense and your defense last year. So that's going to be tough to replace. And, Terry Wilson's an athlete. He's proven that he can play at this level. I just don't think he's a difference maker. And, you know, Terry Wilson back with Shea Smith there backing him up. I don't know. I think it's more or less on Tennessee than Kentucky, because I don't see Kentucky being a top 25 team come 2020.
Yeah, so I agree with you there. I feel better about Terry Wilson than you do. And a lot of that's just because, I guess, the Missouri game specifically. But I feel better about him, I think, than you do. But I do question.
Joey Gatewood there as well. Forgot about that.
Yeah, I question whether Kentucky's going to be that much better. And look, Stoops has done a really good job. And that's a strong coaching staff that they have. Yes.
Good coach.
You know what? Here's what he did. He went in and it ain't pretty. It ain't a bunch of bells and whistles on it, man. But they go out and block and tackle. And if you're a team that blocks and tackles, you're going to win a whole lot of football games. And that's what Kentucky does. And so if I remember there were times that we would be interviewing Kentucky offensive linemen, Josh and I would, with 180 at media days, and they would sit down and they'd be 270, 275, and they're like my size up there, and I'm like, son, you're about to get your dang brains beat in. What are you doing? Now they show up and they're 320. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that is one massive difference is strength and conditioning, getting a bigger, better athlete, especially up front. And that's something that Kentucky's done awfully well is they're coached well up front. There ain't a whole lot pretty about it. There's not a whole lot. It's no Mike Leach or nothing sexy. But they're going to hit you in the mouth, and you're going to have to be willing to get hit in the mouth. I just feel like that plays into what Tennessee has. And so I think Tennessee's going to be all right in the front seven and on the offensive line. So I don't think that it's going to be a situation where Kentucky's skill players are going to outplay Tennessee's skill players, and that's why we're going to see Kentucky beat Tennessee. I just think it's a bit Tennessee's a bad matchup for Kentucky because of that thing. Mm-hmm. And because this is the way that Jeremy Pruitt's built this Tennessee team is, we're going to be good up front on the offensive line, and I just think that offensive line is going to be too much for Kentucky's front seven for the most part.
Yeah, I think you can own the game. Obviously, you win games in the trenches. That's the old football adage. But, you know, when you compare the two teams, Tennessee's built to win up front, and still, I'm going to take, you know, there's not many skill players on the outside right now for Tennessee. If they're there, they're just not proven. And you know what you got in the backfield, too. Tennessee still has got some guys on offense that can make a lot happen with the football in their hands. So it'll be an interesting matchup. I don't agree with this poll for that reason. That's the biggest takeaway of the top 25, Kentucky being at 23, Tennessee being out from Sporting News.
That is Eric Kane. I'm Will West. EA Show with Brian Rice is coming up next, 99.1 The Sports Animal.